Good morning to all of you, and I want to say a very special word. I am honored to be home, and I was sitting over here sensing the presence of God, and the Lord has showed up today, and His presence is here. Amen. Well, listen to me for a moment. If ever there has been a place where I have gone to preach, where I need to start off by saying, I am debtor, like the Apostle Paul said in the first chapter of the book of Romans, I'm indebted not only to God for His grace, but to you, God's people, for your goodness. For without people like you, there could not be people like us. Let me explain. We have committed our life to go to places where Christianity traditionally has been persecuted and where God's people are often downtrodden. Right now, we're dealing with an invitation to come to Cuba for more than a month to preach. But we've been spending our time in the former communist world, the former Soviet Union, preaching to people who have been persecuted and have been mistreated and are living without hope. And we give about one half out of every year to doing that. And it's you that makes that possible. Because when we go there, many of those people are living on less than $3 a day. They cannot give us anything but hugs and handshakes for coming, but you make it possible for us to be there preaching the gospel. And if you will come back tonight, and I'm pleading with you to do that, because we've got a short video tonight that will let you see the faces of all of these people that you're impacting and let you see some of the halls where we preach the gospel and help you understand exactly what this church is doing through helping us go through this open door and preach in this unique place in the world and see this incredible spiritual harvest. A few moments ago, you saw that statement, Michael got international evangelist. Well, what does that mean? It just means that I spend about as much time outside the United States as I do here. In fact, in only 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, we're going back to Eastern Europe for another month of evangelistic harvest. And let me tell you where we're going. We're going to a place called Dnipropetrovsk. The unique thing about that is not that it has a long name, but the unique thing is that that was a secretive place, so secretive that in the days of the Soviet Union, they did not even put the name of the city on the map. Because that was the place where nuclear warheads were built. And you'll remember, some of you, when Mr. Khrushchev, who was head of the Soviet Union, came to the United Nations and made a speech and took off his shoe and beat on the podium saying, "We will bury you." Well, what he really said was more than that. He said, "We are making bombs and missiles as fast as a meat house makes sausages, and we will bury you." Well, where that meat house that he was talking about was Dnipropetrovsk. And we now have the privilege of going there. And they're expecting more than 1,000 people to come every day, and 80% of them will be non-Christians. Now, who makes that possible? This church does. And you do. And we're expecting to see a great harvest. And then after that 2-week period of time, we're touring 10 cities where it's going to be wall-to-wall people. We're taking a musical group with us called the Country Boys. They're going to be singing Southern gospel and Christian music that has a cowboy theme. And I'm going to be preaching in blue jeans and boots every night. And it's going to be something. And already we are being warned by the fire marshals. They're saying, "Now, we're not going to let you pack out those buildings like you did the last time, because we had people sitting in the aisles." But it's a wonderful opportunity, and it's what you do through us. But sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I'm very proud to be from not only from Texas, but from East Texas. But sometimes if you say too much about being from Texas, people are always saying, well, let's hear one of those Texas jokes. And they're always talking about Texas bragging and all of that kind of stuff. So I try to downplay that. But I understand exactly what they're talking about. For example, there was a West Texas rancher who had been married to his wife for 50 years. And he said, for the 50th wedding anniversary, what do you want to do? And she said, I want to fly first class to India, and I want to go see the Taj Mahal, the most beautiful building in the world. And that's what they did. And when they got there, he got a guide. And he said, now, I understand you're the very best guide in India. Show us around. So he did show them the Taj Mahal. And when it was all over, that West Texas rancher said, I want to ask you a question. How much land do you own? And the little Indian said, well, do you see down the street there to that light pole? That square is how much land I own. And the West Texas rancher said, well, let me tell you, I could get in my car at 9 o'clock in the morning and stay in my car until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I would not drive to the end of my land. And the little Indian said, I understand that. I used to have a car just like that. So you have to be careful about telling Texas jokes in some places. But listen to me. I'm here with a desire to help you realize what God is saying in your life now. Now, he may have said other things in the past, which was important. But what's he saying to you now? Well, I'm going to read a text, and it's very possible that you have never, ever heard anyone speak from this text before, because it's buried in the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, and only one verse, verse 4. And I'll give you just a moment to turn to it, but I want to read it from the New Living Translation. Listen to what it says. The farmer who waits for perfect weather never plants. And they that watch every cloud never harvest. Now, what's this talking about? It's talking about missing that special moment. And it's encouraging us to realize that we must seize the moment. There was a folk singer from England who used to sing a song with these haunting words. I have a weary kind of feeling that my time has come and gone to waste. And the Bible is full of dramatic verses like this one. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. Don't miss your moment. But these words that I just read not only apply to those of us who are searching for God to be more real in our life than he's ever been before, but it also speaks to this church collectively. And if you're a Christian, it speaks to you individually. Now, let's apply these words to this church collectively. The church who waits for perfect weather to plant the seeds of the gospel will never plant. And the church who watches every cloud waiting for the perfect time to reap never reaps. Now think about how that applies to you. I can tell you one thing. Your life is now passing, and what you are going to do, you must understand it has to be done now. It's time to act. There is an urgency in the Word of God. And if you miss that, you miss the whole heartbeat of Scripture. God has only one date on his calendar: today. Satan has only one date on his calendar: tomorrow. And you can wait, and you can say, well, I'm waiting for the perfect time. I'm waiting for the perfect time to make my commitment to Christ. I'm waiting for the perfect moment to get involved in serving Jesus Christ. Instead of seizing the moment, you can wait for that, quote, perfect time, and you will never plan. And if you're looking at the sky, watching every cloud saying it may rain today so I won't harvest, you may never harvest. There was someone studying for a PhD in Florida. He was in psychology. And he got special permission to write his dissertation on the impact of regret in people's lives. And of course, along the eastern coast of Florida, there are all of these people that are living in these retirement villages and assisted care living facilities. And he got a team of 12 other university students, and they interviewed literally hundreds of people in these retirement villages, asking, as you now look back over your life, what is it that you regret the most? And they thought they would hear something like, I regret getting a divorce, or I regret some of the mistakes that I made in interpersonal relationships, or I regret this sin that I committed in my youth. But they discovered an amazing answer. What I regret most is this: my golden moment came. And in a moment when I should have responded and acted, I waited and I missed my moment, and it has never returned. Listen again to that scripture reading. The farmer who waits for perfect weather. Are you waiting for the perfect time? Look, we live in an imperfect world, and there is no, quote, perfect time. There is a sense in which God is at work now, and God is saying now's the time, and everything is not going to be perfect, and it's never going to be perfect, but it's time to respond. How many of you have been waiting and waiting and waiting? Are you going to be living your final hours saying, I remember a time when God stirred my heart, and I said, not now. And I waited until my heart became cold, and I've never sensed that powerful stirring in my heart again. Are you, as a couple, going to wait when God is telling you, this is the place where I've chosen for you to serve me, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting, and indecision characterizes your life instead of urgency? Many of you remember when Robin Williams, the famous actor, committed suicide last year. His last film was about a professor who kept saying those words in Latin, carpe diem, seize the moment. Are you seizing the moment? Listen again. They that watch every cloud will never reap. Why is it that in a church like this, where God is moving so evidently and almost dramatically, week after week after week, you're standing around waiting before you get involved? You're a Christian. There was a time when your heart was so hot and you were so enthusiastic about the things of God, and now you're saying someday. Listen to what the old Puritans used to say. For you to say someday is a polite way of saying no day. And that's what the Bible says here. It says, if you're waiting for the perfect moment, That moment will never, ever come. You sense a prompting of God. Listen, are any of you here today seeking to know the best that God has for you? Listen to this. If you've got a want to, there's people in this church that can tell you how to. But you have to be willing to say, yes, now I respond. Now, there are three things very quickly that I want you to notice. First of all, we need to realize why these words were originally written. Now, these are not words of Aristotle. These are not words of some philosopher. This is right out of the Bible. This is God speaking to me. This is God speaking to you. And he's telling you, don't wait. This is the wisdom of God. This is not my thoughts or the thoughts of some sage of 100 or 200 years ago. This is God speaking to you. And he's telling you, there is a danger of waiting. Look, this is wisdom. This is wisdom from God. That is living wisdom. And if you want what God wants for you, and if you want the best that God has for you to stand back and say, well, I'm looking at every cloud, I'm waiting for the perfect moment, you're going to miss it. That's what God says. But not only is this wisdom that is living, this is a witness that is lasting. Now is the acceptable time. When are you going to get involved in the service of God? When? Tell me when. When's the perfect moment going to come? When are you going to be biblically baptized? When? Tell me when. You can miss your moment. This is God's time now. And for you to politely excuse yourself saying, well, I'm just waiting, is a spiritual disaster for you. But not only that, there's more. Secondly, let us all personalize how this applies. I mean, we need to apply the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon was one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. And Charles Spurgeon said, the sermon doesn't start until the application is made. And that's the reason from the very beginning I've tried to talk about you and me. This is not some theory. There are some of you right now making the exact mistake talked about in this verse of Scripture. Now that's the truth. It applies to me and you. How do we apply this? How do we appreciate what is said? I could stand here and speak to you and you could discount everything I said, but when I quote the Scripture, thus saith the Lord, this is what God says. There is an authority, and I want you to hear the authority of the Word, and it says to you about the decision that you need to make. You can wait for your perfect moment and you will never ever plant. And you can watch every cloud and you will never reap. Now, think about these words for the leadership of this church. How urgent these words are. Our time is passing. What we're going to do, it must be done now. The drama of life is taking place. So, we need to appreciate that this is God speaking to you and to me. Now, let's just stop for a moment. If I had a private conversation with you, and if I said to you, if you were in the presence of Jesus Christ, what decision would you make before him? And if you were honest and you said that, I would say, then that's the decision you need to make right here, right now. What is it that would put you in the center of his will? Would it be renewing your life to Christ? You've always doubted about that decision that you made long ago. You and your buddy at Vacation Bible School walked down, more or less punching one another in the ribs to make a public profession of faith. And you look back on that, and it is so hazy and so vague, and that you've never had peace about that. Why shouldn't you come and settle it forever in a mature adult way and be able to walk out saying, I've got it settled? How long are you going to come to this church with that gracious attitude, I love Brother John and I love this church, and yet not move your membership here and be a real part of this church? Let me tell you, as an evangelist, as I travel the world, let me tell you what I see. I see good people like you who lose an active membership in the church that they belong to. And ultimately, they start to drift, and they drift out of active Christianity. I'm telling you, bring your Christianity up to date and come today. Now, let's apply this. The farmer who does not plant, in other words, he's not doing it now because he's waiting for the perfect moment. How does that apply to you and your spiritual condition in this very moment? What is missing? What is the step that you need to take? You are so close to getting it right, and yet you've let this idea of waiting for the perfect moment. What is the perfect moment? What would be the perfect moment for you? Would it be the week after your wife threatens to leave you because of your attitude about life? Would it be after another 911? Would it be the week after you find out that you've got cancer? What do you mean, perfect moment? God is giving you now. Can you remember when your heart used to throb with love for the work of God? And your heart has grown cold? Are you telling me that you would not be blessed and benefited if you walked down here and said, with all of my heart, I want a fresh touch of God upon my life? Look, I love the way that this church is arranged. The baptistry is over here. I was in a church in Mobile, Alabama. The Dolphin Way Baptist Church. It was a great church when I was there. The baptistry was over here, and over here, there was a carpeted golden circle with a light coming down. And when a person was baptized over here, they would ask the person or the persons most responsible for their conversion to Christ and the declaration that they were making to come and stand in the golden circle. And when the person was lifted out of the baptistry, the first thing they would do when they came out of the baptistry was to wave at the people over here, and the people over here waved at them to say, congratulations, you followed God. I want to ask you a question. If this church did that, when was the last time you would have been asked to stand in the golden circle? There was a time when you really had a desire and a love to help people come to Christ. How many of you are standing back and watching that happen without being involved yourself? Are you telling me that walking down here to say, I once had a soul winner's heart, but I've lost it. I don't know where, I don't know how, but it happened. But I want to ask you to pray with me that God will renew my passion to help people come to Jesus Christ, and I want to be directly involved in them making an open decision for Christ. How many of you need to come and do that today? You may notice a little raspiness in my voice today. You know why? When you helped me go to Eastern Europe, there were some days the crowds were so large and the services were so arranged that I spoke 5 times a day. And so if the raspiness in my voice is disconcerting, I apologize, but I want to tell you, I believe what John Wesley said about a sore throat and a raspy voice. They said, what do you do about a sore throat and a raspy voice? He said, preach more. But let's go back to you. Are you waiting for the perfect moment? Have you been missing God's best by standing just outside His perfect will for your life? So let's personalize these words. Not only do we need to, in a very clear way, realize what these words mean, but we need to personalize how to apply these words. But there's a third thing. And I want you to notice it. It's there on the screen. We need to visualize these words. Let me help you do that with just 2 phrases from that verse. Never plant. Never harvest. We used to sing an old song that said, must I go an empty-handed and to meet my Savior so? Do you realize that your life is passing and you're never going to plant? At a time when you could be influencing your family in righteousness, you're never going to plant those seeds because you're in a situation of being indifferent and inactive. Do you realize that you're never going to plant seeds that will produce a harvest of righteousness even after your life is over because you're waiting for the perfect moment? Never plant. Is that going to be the epitaph? He never planted. But I can think of an epitaph worse than that one. She never reaped. What was the purpose of her life? What did he accomplish for the glory of God? He never planted. He never reaped. Is that going to be the lasting epitaph of your life? D.L. Moody, the great evangelist during the Civil War days of America, was once asked, Mr. Moody, what is your goal in life? And D.L. Moody said, my goal in life is to go to heaven and see how many I can take with me. Are you going to have a harvest? I speak to you as a Christian. Are you going to have a harvest? How many are you going to take with you? And here you are, a wonderful couple. And if you really came alive in Christ, do you realize what seed you would plant? Do you realize how that harvest could grow into a bumper crop and you could be used to bring so many people to love the Lord? If you would just commit your life without reservations to Jesus Christ. Visualize, never plant, never harvest, or let's reverse it, much planting, glorious harvest. He planted much. She received a glorious harvest. In just a moment, our instrumentalists are going to come. And I'm going to invite you to get up from all over this building in a moment and to walk down here and to say, I want to seize the moment. I don't want to miss this strategic time in my life. I want what God wants for me. Say those words with me. I want what God wants for me. Now listen, I don't want more. Say it with me. I don't want more, but I will not settle for less. Let's say it together. But I will not settle for less than God's best for my life. Say it with me. Than God's best for my life. Listen again. I want what God wants for me. I do not want more. But I will not settle for less than his best for my life. The instrumentalists are coming, and we're going to sing in just a moment a song of invitation. And I'm going to ask you to get up from all over this building and come down here and say, I want what God wants for me. I don't want more, but I'm not going to settle for less than God's best for my life. And just like they stood spontaneously and started coming, I'm going to ask you in just about 30 seconds to stand. And from the moment you stand, I'm going to ask you to start making your way out to come to say, I want God's best for my life. Whether that is church membership or baptism or to confess your faith in Christ, even though you say you've already received him, I'm going to ask you to come to say, I want to be in the center of God's will. I'm going to ask you to come right now to say, I want to seize the moment. I don't want it to be said of me that I